And as it's Easter Day, I thought I would choose one of my favourite verses. And it's in Luke 20, and it's verse 38. He is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. Well, resurrection to fallen, sinful creatures is the most wonderful thing. By the time we come to die, whether old or young, either we've declined, bodies, mind, or perhaps met a tragedy and a trauma, but we couldn't walk to heaven. We couldn't make our own way there. We don't have that sort of power. And resurrection is such an outstanding feature. None of us knows anything about it. We've not been resurrected yet. It's one of those wonderful things that speaks of things beyond our bodily experience and also speaks for all time. But there have always been those who do not believe in the resurrection. Our text is in answer to the Sadducees, of whom we read in verse 27, there came to him certain of the Sadducees which deny that there is any resurrection. And this is part of Jesus' answer to them. But they're not the only ones who ever denied that there was any resurrection. One of the most wonderful passages is in 1 Corinthians 15. I would recommend reading 1 Corinthians 15 once a week. It's really a marvellous, marvellous time about the resurrection. And in conclusion, because of resurrection, Paul writes, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. But on the other hand, there were always those, even in the days after Christ, who doubted the resurrection. Let me read to you verse 12 onwards of that chapter. If Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also vain. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now, the Greek means, but as it is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept? For since by man came death, by man also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive but every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. If you find verse 22 a little difficult, as in Adam all die, everybody, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, and you think that's everybody the same. In fact, it's qualified. Afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming. As in Adam will die, in Christ shall every believer be made alive. So, resurrection is our guarantee. Well, in one sense it isn't, that we shall live forever. And here, when we are not yet raised from the dead, the Holy Spirit within us is our guarantor. He is the surety. He's dwelling within us. He's making us to be aware of our sins and to confess our sins and to repent of our sins and to love the Bible and to read the Bible and to be led on by the Bible and to lead us to Christ. He is the guarantor that we may have a foretaste now of resurrection. I don't know what it'll be like in that last day. I've sometimes wondered, trying to picture that day when the Lord returns and there will be that great resurrection. And those that are alive shall be changed immediately and go up to meet the Lord in the air. But they don't come before those who died. The Lord Jesus brings with him the souls of those who died, and they are joined with their bodies. First, before those who are alive are changed. I suppose we might, although it will probably happen virtually simultaneously. I thought those who are still alive might want to see all the bodies go, whether they're going to go too. But it's the most wonderful thing. On that day he returns, we'll be changed if we're alive here on earth. And if we're not alive, our souls will come with him very much alive. And at the trumpet sound, the dead bodies shall be awakened and shall be coming together. Read 37 as to how bones come, Ezekiel 37, as to how bones come together. And how the right part will come to the right part and join up with the right part and function again in a new and different way and be gathered also to meet with the Lord in the air. Resurrection in every aspect is a most wonderful prospect. It is a most wonderful thing. It is part of the package in this sense that you could say that it is the most marvelous basis of Christianity. But it is part of the package in as much as it is the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection. They belong together. Believers can't have the one without the other. But they need the one, and they rejoice in the one. But the other hasn't happened yet, so they rejoice in that, and one day it will come true for them. So these men, Sadducees, came to Jesus. And they had never, for some reason, believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees were the political arm of the Israelites. They were those who were more interested in the politics and in not having Rome govern them and all that sort of thing. But in Luke 20 and verse 27 we read, there came to him certain of the Sadducees which deny that there is any resurrection? Well, it's a nice question, isn't it? If you didn't know what followed, what would you say? We've read what Paul said. But what does Jesus say? It's the most intriguing and wonderful answer. They deny that there is any resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, trying to trick him into doing something that would deny the Bible, deny what happened to Moses, deny what he wrote, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take up his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Well, it's true. That's what it did say. And then they come up with this imaginary tale, what they think is the logical conclusion of what it meant. There were therefore seven brethren. The first took a wife and died without children. The second took her to wife and he died childless. And the third took her, and in like manner the seven also, and they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. And the $50,000 question. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? Number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, number six, number seven. Seven had a wife. Whose shall she be? Now, it's a ridiculous story, and the Lord Jesus deals with a number of issues, of which resurrection is almost the last. Jesus said unto him, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. Well, there are a number of married couples here today. And the whole marriage system was a little different, so that to be married is what the man does, and to be given in marriage is what the bride's father does to give the lady to the man. But it refers to marriage as we think of it today, you see. Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry. Now, resurrection belongs to the world to come. The children of this world marry and are given in marriage. And here comes this worthiness. Are we worthy to go to heaven? Are we worthy to belong to the holy, perfect God? We're sinful. It's great grace of God who knows our weakness and our sins and remembers that we're dust, who has mercy. Those who should be accounted worthy to obtain that world. Believers in the Lord Jesus, but he hasn't said that yet. Those that shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead. Now, he's talking about the future. He's not talking and saying that those who are believers who are going to live forever shouldn't be married. He's not saying that. He's talking about the world to come. They which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Here the Lord Jesus says in this connection, reminds them that it's a worthy thing, that you have to be worthy of heaven. Clearly the Sadducees knew they weren't. Clearly all of us think we aren't. If a list of our faults, a list of our sins was to be presented before the Father in heaven, we would receive the punishment due. But the Lord Jesus on the cross took that punishment so that we are free. So we are worthy. We are worthy to obtain that world. And of course he's saying there is a world to come. There are many people in this life who do not believe that there is a world to come. When this life is over, they say, that's it, we'll go to sleep like we were before we came. At least, that sort of situation. We won't know anything about it one way or the other. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that there will be a resurrection to damnation. Our translators always use the word damnation to translate the same word that in other places is translated condemnation. But they use damnation when it refers to the things of the future and of hell. Condemnation among men, but on the whole it's damnation if it affects God and the life to come. Same Greek word normally. But those that are accounted worthy to obtain that world. So there is that world. We're not in any doubt about it. The idea that we'll know nothing afterwards like we knew nothing before is just an excuse to carry on sinning, because there is no judgment, they think. There is no meeting of God, they think. The idea of being worthy of heaven is not something that enters their mind, but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is that which makes us worthy to obtain that world. The word heaven isn't used, that world, but it is heaven. And the resurrection from the dead. Paul uses a still stronger word in one of his letters. He says the out resurrection from among the dead, by which he means that all will be raised, including those who are raised to damnation, but those who are raised to eternal life are raised out of them. It's a compound word of this word here. But the Lord Jesus is referring to believers, because he's saying worthy. The children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore. Well, they've been talking about 8 deaths, 7 brothers and 1 lady. Death there will be something that won't happen. I suppose people tend to put death out of their minds, unless they have a loved one who's dying or they come across that sort of situation in their life. But on the whole, people don't think about death. And probably from a human nature point of view, it's right. Don't always want to be what we call morbid, thinking about death. But actually, in order to know that you're going to be safe after death, it's fine to think about death. Because whatever death brings upon us, we're going to overcome that. We're going to be raised from the dead who believe in Christ. So those who are willing to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead cannot die any more. The Lord Jesus speaks in John 11, we'll have a look at that sometime, not this morning, that those who are dead in Christ are alive. And those who believe in Christ and are alive will never die, but they will die. But what he means is their spirit, their soul, will not die. We are indeed very similar to the animals. What wonderful brains they have. What wonderful physical speed some of them have. How they're wonderfully made. But they do not have souls. And we who do have souls will not die anymore. Our souls will never die and be with Christ all the time. Then there's this wonderful expression. They cannot die anymore, for they're equal to the angels. Now, by equal there, the angels know more in one sense than we do, and they can travel to help the Lord's people instantly. But on the other hand, they don't know Christ as we know him. They've seen him, but they don't know him as we know him. But equal to the angels simply means here that we won't have the sort of bodies we have now that requires marriage relationships. We will be equal in that sense to the angels. And we're the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. So though it is possible to say that we're all children of God because we're all created by him, the real significance is that we're children of the resurrection and therefore children of God. So it's important, isn't it? Today, Easter, the Lord is raised. We are children of the resurrection. Flesh and blood who believe in Christ are children of the resurrection. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was the covenant head leading the way. And then comes the bit that I begin to love so much. It's all lovely. Now that the dead are raised. So now he gets to the point of the Sadducees who don't believe there is any resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush and others showed at other times. But would you ever dream of using this illustration? Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush. How? When he calls the Lord, God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now accept that the Spirit says so, and accept that the Lord says so. It's very easy to read it, isn't it? Well, what Moses meant was that the Lord was the God of Abraham while he was alive, and that the Lord was the God of Isaac while he was alive, and the Lord was the God of Jacob during his time on earth. That's how most people would read it, wouldn't they? But it's not how the Lord Jesus, who knows all things, reads it. And it's lovely. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he calleth the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, because he's not a God of the dead. Did your parents believe? Do they believe? Well, they're not dead. The hymn writers who believed, they're not dead. Anybody who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is still alive. They haven't got their bodies, but they've got their souls. The thing that makes them unique from anybody else, very difficult to define a soul, is that part of us which is most thoughtful, able to cry out to God, which the animals can't do. Difficult to define, but it's the eternal part of us. And we do have that part. And death is the separating of our soul from the body. So the body dies, but the spirit doesn't. And God is expert at separating in death the soul from the body. If you've watched somebody die, you don't see that. Mysterious. But the Lord knows exactly how to separate soul from the body. you consider that the scriptures said that the Lord Jesus on the cross gave up the ghost, which is another word for spirit, and died. And he said, and in different words, Stephen said, I commend my spirit into thy hands. We're dying. So, Abraham is not dead. Isaac is not dead. Jacob is not dead. None of the Old Testament believers are dead. None of the New Testament believers are dead. Those whom you've known and who have believed are not dead. They're very much alive, more alive than we are. Because they have no sin. Because they're worshipping Christ. Because they don't have silly games and silly hobbies and silly habits to encounter. We all do it. I'm not saying we shouldn't. We all do it. But they're very, very, very much alive. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living. By creation, we are all children of God, as we've seen. But by salvation, only those who believe in Christ are saved. He's not a God of the dead, but of the living. And that means those who live in Christ. All souls are alive, of course. He is not a God of the dead, but of the living. Wonderful, isn't it? We live. We become alive when he saves us. And we believe in Christ. He is our God now. He is a God of the living. But the living have gone before us as well. They're with him in the glory. They see Christ. He is not a God of the dead, but of the living. For all, that means all believers, live unto him. Nothing dead is in his sight in heaven. Everything there is alive. Everyone there is alive. The angels are alive. The Godhead is alive. And every believer who's taken there is alive. You can understand Paul saying that if there is no resurrection of the dead, we are of all men most miserable. You see what he means, don't you? What have we given up for Christ? How have we been laughed at for Christ? What things have happened to us that wouldn't have happened had it not been that we went to church, had it not been that we turned to the Lord Jesus, that we gave up certain things, whatever it was. Well, the rest of mankind doesn't do it. We would be of all men the most miserable because what we put our trust in doesn't work, but we've denied ourselves the things of the earth. But the Lord Jesus, he lives forever. And God is the God of the living. And we're living spiritually now and in the world to come. We are not of all men the most miserable. We suffer like other people, some more than others, some in a different way from others. But it's not going to be forever. Those who trust the Lord Jesus, while they're here on earth, are living unto him, but they will die. And that was the whole point of Jesus raising Lazarus. He was sick. But the Lord Jesus showed that that does not conquer death. All believers live unto him. Non-believers live, but you could hardly call it life. But it's a misery in hell. The resurrection, if Jesus says, of damnation. But all live unto him. We live because we belong to him. We live observing him. We live being loved by him. We live being owned by him. All live unto him. When the Bible says that the Lord is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, as it often does, but the Lord picks on Moses because he was there in the presence of God at the bush. He is not a God of the dead, but of the living. And all were living at the time when Moses was at the bush, who'd come before and believed, beginning with Abel, beginning perhaps with Adam. He is not a God of the dead, but of the living. For all live unto him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in him. Give your whole life over to him to carry on in this world in a way that would please him. And you will be living to him now. And it will be a foretaste, spiritually, of the joys that we will receive that are permanent. And then you think, what a wonderful thing it is that God has all power. He will sustain us as well as heaven and the universe that will be then without any trouble. Never to stop, never to run out of power, never to fail. All live unto him. Aren't we favored people? Amen.
Amen.